Brother Boring will get it to you. Amen. Excited that Brother Boring and Miss Boring are going to be starting a brand new Sunday school class here just in a few, probably in about a month. And it's the 31 through 45-year-olds. And we're excited about that, male and female adult class. That'll be a ball of energy, I can guarantee that. Pray about it. Pray about it. The Spiritual Development Hour, brand new spiritual development leaders starting a brand new class. Guarantee it'll be packed full of teaching and fun. And that'll be for the people that are just after the age of the college and career department. And we'll be starting another class a little bit later this year. That'll be the first of two this year. Appreciate the Borings for answering that call. Amen. Brother Miss Martin, I'm glad to see both of you. Y'all have been so sick, and I'm glad to see you well and back at church. We've missed you. Missed you. Not completely there, but I'm glad you're here tonight. And I missed you yesterday. I was with Brother Chuck and Miss Olds yesterday for the middle part of the day. He went in for surgery, and I sat with Miss Olds during that time. And we really had a sweet time there in the waiting room together. But he came through it good, and they're feeling like it went well. But he's got a big road ahead of him with more treatment ahead. But keep praying for Brother Chuck Olds. What a dear, sweet spirit. My goodness, what an encouraging person he and her both are. But I understand the Forever Young had a great time yesterday, though, and I was glad to hear that. And glad to see people that were sick getting well. Now we just got to get the ones who were well that are now sick well, get everybody well, and we'll then be very, very happy. All righty, if you're at Mark 8, verse 27 through 29, say, I am there. Alrighty, I believe you. So I'm going to go ahead and start to read it. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. But let me read the scripture that I led off with, our text for this particular lesson. The lesson entitled, Who Was Jesus? Who was Jesus? We're going to learn a little bit about him in our Life, Example, and Teachings of Christ series that we've been in. So verse 27 says, And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet. Jesus said this of John the Baptist, by the way. There was never a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great prophet. He was a great preacher. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that came in and told people to prepare their hearts for the Messiah is at hand. He was a very important person, a relative of Jesus. Who knows how he was related to Jesus? He was a cousin. Jesus loved him greatly. Who knows how John the Baptist died? Say it if you know it. You said it. Say it loud. He was beheaded at the behest of Herodias, who led her daughter to ask for his head on a silver platter. He had offended her by preaching against her relationship that she was having. She was now with her brother's, she was with her husband's brother, and they were living together, and he preached and rebuked them, and so she got angry, man. She was scorned, and she came after him hard, and so we see that story just in passing. Now, John the Baptist, as great as he was not the Messiah. He was not Jesus. But many believe that he was the reincarnated John the Baptist. There's people that thought he was John the Baptist, risen from the grave. And then it says, but some say Elias or Elijah. Elijah was a very powerful prophet, a hero of the prophet, of the Old Testament, the prophets of the Old Testament, a name that no doubt was legendary, and the things the Bible records about him were magnificent. We see that Elijah is one of only two men that did not die a natural death. We see that the first one was who? Who was the first one? And way back there in Genesis, Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God every day, and then one day he was not, for God just took him. So we see Enoch that did not die a death. And then we see the Bible says that a chariot of fire came and picked up Elijah, took him to heaven. I find that to be very interesting, and I've got a study on it, which is, I think, very interesting, but I'm not going to give it to you tonight. Maybe on another night when we're talking about UFOs and the Bible and how that all relates. But in any case, very interesting stuff that's found in the Bible that pertains to things that in the sky. But in any case, Elijah, a very powerful prophet, but Jesus was not Elijah, and Elijah was not Jesus. And then others say one of the prophets. Now let me just stop and point this out. Every cult that exists, they are a cult for this reason. They take away the deity of Jesus. There's a belief sometimes in Jesus, or even a reference to Jesus, but they will demote Jesus from being the Son of God to becoming just a prophet. Do you know that Jesus is the single most quoted prophet in the Quran, the Muslim's Bible? He is quoted above all others. But here's the thing. They do not give him the credit as being the Son of God. They do not give him the credit as being the Messiah. He is a prophet. And he is demoted below the prophet Muhammad. And Allah, the moon god, is their god. You ever notice the Muslim symbol? What is it? Who knows what it is? A crescent. Not even a full moon. He's a half moon. I'm so glad I don't worship the moon god. Amen. But he is supposedly, in their faith, above Jesus. He is the main prophet, and Allah is the god that they pray to. And we see that Jesus has been demoted. And you can go and you can see every cult that's out there. They will have a leader that is promoted higher than Jesus. Now, the Bible says there's only one name whereby we are saved. And that name is Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus, God said that he is my only begotten son, period. When the word begotten, all of us that are saved, we're sons and daughters of God, but Jesus is begotten of God. What does that mean? That means he came out of God. And we know that he's the second person of the Godhead. So anytime you're studying, and you know, you take for granted that people that come to your church will never get swept into a cult, yet I have pastored people that today are sitting in cults. Why? Because very sharp, persistent people come by their house and have Bible studies with them all the time. And the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and other cults are very persistent. And sometimes in their persistence, they'll find a Christian who is ignorant, and they have things that sound very Christian-ish. They'll even use the King James Bible when they sit in your living room and have studies with you. You say, preacher, what should we do when the Mormons and JWs come and knock on our door? Bid them farewell. You know, look, not everybody who comes in the name of Christ is of Christ. They'll talk about Jesus, but Jesus is demoted in their faith. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Savior. There are prophets in their teachings that rank above God. And there are also an alternate version of the Bible that they will eventually segue into. There's the Book of Mormon. The Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Bible written by J. Terrence Russell, who developed their religion. I mean, you got to realize that things that are different are not the same. Say that with me. Things that are different are not the same. Now, if you ever leave Town East Baptist Church and you're looking for a church, just because a church, you know, you get out there and you say, okay, I'm going to visit this church, you need to ask them if they believe that Jesus is the only Son of God and that he is not just a prophet, but that he is the Son of God. Because there are churches that you think are good churches. They got good music and they have a semblance of being similar. Not all of them teach that Jesus is the Son of God. Every cult out there, and there are former Baptists sitting in cult churches, and some of them doing it unawares. You know, they're now worshiping in a false religion that teaches that there's other men that are above Jesus. And so you see that. So we see that some people, even back in Bible times, they just categorized as Jesus being one of the prophets. It was an honor to be a prophet. Prophets were good men. But Jesus was not just one of the prophets. He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the very Son of God. But we see that some people said that. Now, verse 29, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. So we see here this questioning going on, this discourse between Jesus and his disciples, where he asks them, "What's being said about me out there? Who does men say that I am?" Then he brings it down to them. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" So we looked at some things, and we talked about how Jesus was definitely a Jew. We know that he was a Jew, born of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David. We see all of that in the scriptures. And we talked about what did Jesus look like. And so we pointed out that many people argue over what Jesus looked like, and it usually falls into racial lines. And I've seen Jesus painted in paintings, and he's looked like every race that's out there. I've seen the Caucasian Jesus, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. I've seen Mexican Jesus. I've seen the African-American Jesus. If you Google it, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's paintings from every race that's out there where those races have depicted Jesus to look like their particular race. And, you know, we see a lot of the pictures of Jesus came out of the Renaissance era, where he was painted by Caucasian men, who many of them were very effeminate men, and they painted Jesus to look like them. They made him very fair-skinned and blonde-haired and blue-eyed, and they made that. So we looked at the reasons why that's probably not an accurate depiction of Christ, although many people have said when they pray and they think of Jesus, those images they saw in the storybooks. And I was talking to Miss Mel. She was telling me that. My wife told me that. And she said, "I never pictured Elvis like you did, but I did picture the storybook Jesus and the pictures that you saw in the little children's books. Most of them, if you study them, depict an Aryan Jesus." Well, Jesus was a Jew, full-blooded, 100%. Most of the Jews of that era had a certain look. Most of them had dark skin, dark eyes, dark curly hair. And nothing in Scripture points that he stood out in any way different from what the common man would have looked like, although we saw all through Scripture that when there were traits that made a person stand out, the Bible made mention of it all the time. So I feel like we would have known that if he stood out in a way that made him look different from the average Jew. So what did he look like? Most likely he looked like a Jewish man of that day. He probably had olive skin, probably brown eyes, and probably dark brown hair. Now, it's all suggestive. We don't know. There are blonde-haired Jews with the help of Clairol. Clairol has helped a lot of people change that hair color. But it's not normal. There are blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jews. There are red-headed Jews. There are brunette Jews. There are black-headed Jews, raven-headed. But most likely, he looked like the common look of that era. And we looked at all that. We had a good time. How many of you got something out of that? Yeah, it's kind of trivial, but it goes down to a lot of racial things. You know, I don't believe that God, when we get to heaven, that God's going to be of any race. We're all going to relate to Jesus. Amen? I don't believe in heaven race is going to be the issue that it is down here. God's going to abolish all that junk, and we're all just going to love each other and love the Lord as he is. And the Bible says we'll see him as he is. But I don't believe that's going to be an issue when we see Jesus. And I don't need Jesus to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian like me to worship him. That doesn't matter to me. How many of you are with me on that? Amen. I just know that he is of God, and that is what matters the most. All righty, now, here's what we're picking up in your notes. Number 4, Jesus was a rabbi. Go to John 1:38. We were there in Mark, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, we're going to see where he is referred to, and we'll state why that's important here in a second. But we know he was a rabbi. John 1:38. Rabbis were often referred to as master. Often people refer to a rabbi as master. John 1:38 says this: "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master, where dwellest thou?" So we see that Jesus was recognized as a rabbi or a Jewish preacher or teacher. Now, that would have meant that he was referred to as a holy man. He was viewed as a holy man. They saw him as a rabbi, a holy man. Now, rabbis wore a very distinguishing clothing. Their clothing had a distinguishing element to it. And Kristen and Kyle are out of town on their anniversary. They're celebrating 20 years of marriage, and they're out of town. But I was going to try to find some pictures and put it up there, but them being gone, I wasn't able to do that today. But by the way, we need to play a little joke on them. What day are they getting back? Does anybody know? I should know. I'm both of their boss, but are getting back. So what we need to do is everybody needs to think of a question some kind of question. And, you know, everybody on, like, Sunday night, text them all a question, both of them. Just send them, like, hey, you know, think of something. And so they, when they turn on their phones, when they get back, there'll be, like, 300 questions waiting on them. That'd be hilarious. I think that'd be hilarious. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
She deserves it.
She's probably watching us right now. Oh, my soul. But in any case, that'd be so hilarious if everybody just thought of some question, you know, like is there church Wednesday night or something? I don't know. And just text or something. That way when they turn on their phones, both of them, there's, you know, like all those questions. It'd be a good welcome home present. I think that'd be great. Anyway, I was going to put a picture or two that would show rabbis in their clothing, but they stood out, very distinguished clothing that would have caused them to be recognized as a rabbi. People would have seen them out and realized that they were a rabbi. They had distinguishing clothing. So we can get an idea of how he would have dressed from that in a mental picture. When you see Jesus in your mind or in a painting, what's he usually look? What do they usually have him dressed in? Usually a white robe, like a pure white robe. And that's that image of purity. But it's very unlikely that Jesus walked around preaching in Galilee wearing a big old white robe. He would have dressed as a rabbi would have dressed, and they had distinguished clothing, and it would have stood out that he was a rabbi there. So we see him recognized as a rabbi, a master teacher in the Jewish faith. All righty, let me give you another point here. Number five, here's a big question. Was Jesus married, and did he have children? What do y'all think? Shake your head if you think no. Shake your head if you think yes. Stare at me blankly like you normally do if you have no idea, you're confused. Well, there was a book that came out a few years ago. Some of you may have read it or even saw a movie with Tom Hanks portraying it called The Da Vinci Code. Who's familiar with The Da Vinci Code? The Da Vinci Code is a theory that was put forth. Let me explain the theory here, then I'll explain why we don't believe this. There's the group of people that believe that Jesus and Mary of Magdalene were married. And that on the cross, you've heard of people searching for the Holy Grail, which was supposedly the cup that held the blood of Jesus in it that was sacred. That apparently they had taken a cup and filled it with the blood of Christ, and it had been a sacred, but somewhere got lost. So, you know, there's been all kinds of legends about finding the Holy Grail. You'll hear something like, that's the Holy Grail of collector's cards. You know, that is means it is the greatest find if you can find it. So you'll see the Holy Grail compared to things for collectors. But it's supposed to be this artifact that archaeologists are scouring the earth to try to find, because it supposedly held the blood of Jesus. Okay, the Da Vinci Code teaches this, that Jesus and Mary were married, Mary Magdalene, and that when Jesus was on the cross, Mary of Magdalene was pregnant with his child. They took her out in the secrecy of it, and they took her to France, where they hid her, where she then gave birth to the child of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Holy Grail was never a cup that held the blood of Christ, but rather a woman who was the Holy Grail, who held the bloodline of Christ. So they believe that in France there are people who are direct descendants of Jesus Christ. Now, I've never been to France, but I've had people tell me that they've gone to France, and they see no example of any relatives of Christ running around there. My sister went there on her honeymoon, and her first day, her camera got stolen. She was off the airplane about an hour, and somebody stole her nice, she was a professional photographer. They stole her camera, came running by and grabbed it and ran off with it. But the question is, and there's people that bought that. They read the book, saw the movie, and they believe that it's possible. And then supposedly in the Da Vinci painting of The Last Supper, there's all these clues embedded in there that have been, you know, secretly protected. But it's all these clues embedded that show that Jesus and Mary were actually husband and wife. And then there's that theory that goes with it, which is, Let me explain why I do not accept any of that. Here we go. Was Jesus married and did he have children? There is nothing in the Bible to suggest this. No reason to believe it at all. Jesus never took any responsibility for the care of Mary of Magdalene. How many of you believe that if he were her husband, he would have taken care of her? How many of you believe that if Jesus were a husband, he would have been a perfect example of a husband? Now, on the cross, Jesus was hanging there. In his agony and in his pain, he saw fit to make sure that his mother, Mary, was taken care of. And he asked John to take care of his mother while he was hanging on the cross. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother." Would it make sense that at the same time he would have also taken care of Mary of Magdalene? There's zero record of him ever taking care of in any way Mary of Magdalene. But he did see to it that his mother had a provider. Marriage would have been holy, normal, and acceptable. Therefore, there is no reason to not record it in Scripture. It was tradition that a Jewish man at 30 years of age got married. And they didn't marry like we do today. They didn't get on marriage.com and find a wife or a husband. Your parents found your mate for you. You had no choice in it. Your mom and dad would find somebody, and they would agree to this. It'd be a big family agreement. And then you were arranged marriage. At 30 years old, a Jewish guy was getting married, whether he wanted to be married or not. 30 years of age, a Jewish man would have been married. You could not be on the Sanhedrin court without being married. So, you know, it was just a common thing. 30 years of age, a Jewish boy would have been married. He would have been betrothed and married. And we know that Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry. Marriage is holy. How many of you think it would have been a sin if Jesus would have taken a wife? It wouldn't have been a sin. It would have been a holy thing. Having children, there's not anything unholy or sinful about that. There would have been zero reason for them to conceal this. If Jesus had taken a wife that would have been in the bounds of holy matrimony, Jesus would have been sinless in that. But there's zero anything. There's nothing in the Scripture to suggest that he did that. And it would make sense that it would have been recorded if that had been the case. Therefore, there is no reason to believe that that is the case. His family tree is greatly outlined in Scripture. We see his lineage going from his mom, an earthly dad, brothers and sisters mentioned. We see that he had multiple brothers and sisters. All of that information is given. We know who his mom was. We know Joseph. We see all of that. We see his family tree given in great detail. There is no reason that the Bible would have excluded Jesus being married. How many of you agree with that? If it had been there, it would have been recorded. Mary Magdalene wouldn't have just been recorded as one of the disciples. She would have held a special, mentionable place. There was no reason for them to suppress that information. And, let me give you these reasons that I do not accept that Jesus was married or had children. Number one, it's not in the Bible. And that's really the only point you need. You know, we don't want to ever create controversy where there's not controversy. Just interjecting things in the Bible that are not in the Bible is how cults get started and how false doctrine gets started. It's not in the Bible. Therefore, we have no reason to accept that. We have no reason to teach that. We have no reason to believe that. But number two, there would be no purpose in Jesus to get married and have a family. How many of you believe that Jesus knew the time frame of his crucifixion? Jesus knew at 30 what his purpose in life was, and that was to launch his ministry and preach. And he knew that just within a few short years, he was going to be offered up. He knew he didn't have a 40 or 50 year lifespan ahead of him to take a wife and start bearing children. There would have been zero purpose for Jesus, who was here to fulfill a heavenly purpose. He was in a heavenly order. There was no purpose in him taking a wife, knowing he would widow her just within a few short years, and he would leave his child fatherless. That would have been against all wisdom and knowledge and against the entire purpose of Jesus coming. So I reject it for that reason as well. We know that Jesus came to die, not to live as a normal man. Therefore, he would not have most likely taken a wife and fathered a child. So I have dismissed it. There are people that ask me about it at times. Did Jesus marry? They maybe have read that book or seen that movie. It's fictional. It's one of those things that there is zero biblical base to back any of that up. So we can dismiss that. Now, here's another question about who was Jesus, what he looked like. Did Jesus have long hair? Now, people tell me all the time, Jesus must have had long hair because I saw a picture of him and he had long hair in it. You know, saw a Polaroid of him taken back in AD, you know, 32. Oh, man. Now, this is a hot button issue with a lot of people. Did Jesus have long hair? Secular artists have long depicted Jesus as having long hair. Again, this is because they painted him with characteristics consistent with their ideals of what he must have looked like and according to their popular culture. Men of the Renaissance, many of them wore women's wigs. Did you know that? You know that a lot of things you women wear started out with us men? Did you know that pantyhose were men's wear first? Isn't that crazy? Coach, aren't you glad that we got past all that? Joe Namath, was it Joe Namath? Yeah, Joe Namath made the commercial and the pantyhose. Oh, my goodness. Men wore wigs, long curly wigs during the Renaissance era. And they put powder all over their face. Even in the early America, you'll see pictures of our founding fathers often with big wigs on and powder on their face and beauty marks painted. And a lot of that French impressionism was very effeminate. Well, a lot of the pictures of Christ came out of that era, that artistic breakout of art in Europe and the Great Awakening. And art, artists were persecuted a lot earlier and were stifled. Science was stifled. Education was stifled. And then there was this Renaissance, this Great Awakening. And a lot of those men painted Jesus to look like themselves, to look like their culture. So you see a lot of paintings of Christ that are just simply not accurate representations. Most of those paintings show Jesus with beautiful, long, flowing, very, very beautiful curly hair. Now, the Bible clearly states that a man and a woman should maintain a difference in appearance and attire that would bring about a distinguishing line between the sexes. Now, this was to avoid the confusion which we see today in our transgender society. Now, with this in mind, the purpose of it. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, let's turn there. We see Paul as he's going to refer to what he feels is a commonly known principle. When he states it, he says it in a way that this is just common knowledge. Like, everybody knows this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to look at number 14 here. Let me find it. There we go. It says this. Now, Paul is speaking. He says, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now, he is saying this, stating this to a church group of people. He is stating it in a, this is obvious. This is the common way of thinking in their culture. Now, we see this in the notes. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15, Paul speaks in a way that he understands that this is common knowledge to everyone in the Jewish world. How many of you can see that in those scriptures? He is saying it in a way that this is just common knowledge. Everybody knows this. Nature teaches us this. So in their culture, we see that it was a common understanding that men kept their hair short and men or women kept their hair long. And so we see that. Now, it is unlikely that Jesus would have gone against such an understood principle, nor would have Paul, a man that had seen Jesus. Would he draw such a conclusion? The simple truth is that men did not commonly have long hair in Jesus' day. All paintings of men that survived that era show men with short cut hair. It was considered unnatural and unusual for a man to have long hair. Jesus would have stood out had he had worn long hair. Even in the stories of the Bible, we can see Absalom was described as having long hair. And he was known for being a very rebellious child of King David. His long hair was noteworthy because it was not a common practice of their day. The story also adds the poetic justice of how his long hair, which symbolized his pride and rebellion, ended up becoming his undoing. Who's familiar with the story? Absalom was the son who rebelled. He stands as an example of rebellion. How many of you remember the 60s? You remember the 60s? If you were there, they say you can't really remember. It's getting a little more foggy every decade, I'm sure. Remember when rock music really swept across America, and especially the British invasion? Remember the Beatles? What did people call them a lot of times? Those long hairs! And they saw with the rock music, which was music of rebellion, and a lot of the music was the music of a rebellious generation that was throwing their thoughts out there. Vietnam was going on, and anti-government, don't trust anyone over 30. But out of that culture came the hippie movement and the things that were there, the counterculture movements. One of the symbols of their counterculture, a symbol of their rebellion, was what? Some of y'all don't want to say it, but their long hair. And it was a symbol of, we're no longer going to abide by what the man says we have to do. So we saw that come across. It was very uncommon in America for a man to have long hair. But during that period, they broke that mode, and the hippie movement, the long hair movements that then went forward. And then it was not uncommon from that generation forward to see men with long hair. Now, it was not common in America up to that point. It was usually a symbol of somebody who was a troublemaker or somebody who was unkept or vagrant. People of responsibility kept their hair trimmed. You see, in Absalom's case, it is pointed out, number one, that his long hair was not normal. He stood out because of it. But we also see that it was a symbol of his rebellion. He was a very rebellious young man. He ends up being hung by a tree branch. The symbol of his pride and his glory. He was very proud of his long hair. The Bible talked about it. He loved his long hair. And he loved for it to flow, and he was very proud of it. He's riding a horse, and suddenly he gets caught in a tree branch, and he's hung by his hair. Do you see a little bit of irony in that? His own pride, and the symbol of his rebellion and pride, is what he got hung by. And then Joab came along and shot a dart through his heart and killed him. Well, the point I'm trying to make, if you're catching it, is that Absalom stood out in his day. It was noteworthy that he had long hair. Why? Because it wasn't normal. It wasn't something that people did. It was something noteworthy. So it would make sense to us that if Jesus had long hair, that would have been, again, noteworthy. He would have stood out. It would have been against the mold of their day. And we see that. Now, let me see what I wrote some handwritten notes here. If you look back in history, even look on the coins of the Romans, Roman soldiers always had short hair in the coins and things they see, the paintings of it. A lot of people say that Jesus must have had long hair because he was a Nazarite. Now, I've covered this before. One of the greatest misteachings in the world is that Jesus was a Nazarite. Nazarites were under a vow. A Nazarite would enter into a vow, they would shave their head, and then until their vow was fulfilled, I mean, on the first day, Brother Eddie, they had your hair do. On the first day, they'd shave their head bald, but they wouldn't cut their hair again until the vow was fulfilled and they stood out. You would see a man, and so you'd see his hair, you would know he was a man under a vow. So it stood out as a Nazarite vow in the Jewish community. But it wasn't their whole head. It was the hair right here. That part of their head they couldn't cut. And this part would get really long and curl up. You know, Samson was a Nazarite. He had 7 locks of hair, the Bible says. 7 locks of hair that symbolized the power of the Holy Spirit on him. When Delilah finally got to him and he told his secret, she shaved it off. Remember, he went to do the acts of strength and he had no power. Power of God wasn't on him. That was symbolic of him shaving that, symbolic of him losing the power of God on his life. So, again, we see pictures of Samson. He always has super long, curly, beautiful hair. Not accurate. But people even more inaccurately say that Jesus would have had long hair, like Samson, because he was a Nazarite. Who knows the truth about that? Why is it wrong? But J.D., why is that wrong?
Because he was a Nazarene.
He was a Nazarene. Now, it's similar to the word Nazarite, but is it the same thing? Things that are different are not the same. A Nazarite was a man under a Nazarite vow, a Jewish vow. A Nazarene was a person who lived in the city of Nazareth. Jesus was a Nazarene. Not one time in Scripture do you see him referred to as a Nazarite. So therefore, you know, that argument just doesn't hold. Jesus was never described as being a man with, you know, the hair that we would see in paintings and all that. Now, his hair may not have been short like mine. You know, it may not have been, I just got a haircut today, in fact. But it may not have been short like that, but it was not what you would think of in a lot of these pictures. So we see that. I don't believe Jesus would have gone against something that in the Bible is clearly taught. Now, number seven. Let me save this for next week because I'm out of time. We need to go ahead and close up, and we got prayer time coming. But we've covered some things that are interesting. Now, with all that said, I'm not willing to have a fight with anybody over any of that. If it just means a lot to you that you believe that he had long hair down to his waist and was curly, then, you know, that's not something I'm going to argue with you about. I'm just trying to help you have what a biblical, accurate description of Jesus would be, and not really wanting to have an argument with anybody about it. If you think he wore a white robe every day and that's, you know, important to you, then you got to remember that Jesus described coming back is a different Jesus than the Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee. It's important for you to understand the two differences. We're talking about Jesus' past. Jesus' future is a different image, a whole different image, and we've looked at that as well. All righty, let's bow for a word of prayer. Is there anybody here tonight that could say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but I want to. Would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me?" Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Looks like tonight everybody here professes Jesus to be their Savior. And I have no reason to doubt that. But if there is anybody here that you're worrying about it or wondering about it, let me encourage you to come and see me. And let's talk about it. Let's look at the Scripture together. Maybe we can put that to rest. In a moment, we're going to have time for prayer. Be thinking about your prayer request as Brother Dave gets ready to come up here. Dear Father, I thank you that we can look at the topic of Jesus tonight, see so much information in the Word of God. And Lord, a lot of these things we're discussing may be a little trivial. But also, Lord, I think it's important that we know Jesus the best we can. That we have a proper image of him, a proper understanding of him. That when we think of him, we put him in a proper place. Lord, there's been so much distortion in pop culture and in the world around us where they have, in many cases, literally taken away the dignity of Christ. I've seen him mocked in movies. I've seen him made fun of. I've seen them relegate a man who carried a cross on his back after being beaten. And they'll make him look like he's just some feminine, wimpy, weird person. And Lord, sometimes that image gets caught in our mind, and that becomes who we think of Jesus. And Lord, tonight what I'm trying to do is dispel those images. Jesus would not have looked the way sometimes mankind depicts him to look. And we need to have a proper image of him. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we form that image to do it correctly. Now, Lord, I pray you'll hear our prayer request, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Come on up, brother.